And it wasn't like resonating, you know. And then it kind of hit me. I knew which one it was. Maybe you'll know it, and if you know it, you can sing it with me. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, that's right. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. Then what happened? Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, whoa, you guide my sleigh tonight. Then how the reindeer loved him, and they danced and out with glee. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, you'll go down in history. Yeah, that was it. That was the one that was like ringing in my head. I have no idea why, other than Rudolph, like a dad, led the pack. He was proud to be out front with his family and friends. Through the fog, he was the light. Through the storm, he was the light. Like dads are a beacon for their families to take the lead. It didn't matter that there was, you know, diversity and discrimination. It didn't matter about any of that stuff. When it came time to take the lead, there was Dad. Hey, Dad, Dad, Dad. Absolutely. And so one of the things I decided to do for all the fathers, and if you're a father, will you stand up with us? And I'm going to pray for you because you're all in the doghouse. So if you're dad and you can, stand up. If you're dad and you can, stand up. If you can't, then you just, you know, raise your hand. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a candy bar and a big red nose. All right, so stand up. If you're dead, my nose is going away. My nose is running away. Yeah, is this, how's this supposed to work? Is that it? All right, Daddy-O. Keep standing up, Dad. Keep standing up, Dad. People have left the church for less dignified things than this.
I'm going to have to pray for you now with my nose all stuffy.
All right. So if you're a dad and you got a nose, after the service, at the end of the service, he'd come up front. I would love to get a picture. Go take a picture. Kelly, where's Kelly? Did you bring your camera today? No, I didn't bring your camera today. Right. I was going to text you and say, bring your camera. All right, for your dad, stand up. For your dad, please stand. Raise your hand. Everybody got the nose they're supposed to get? Up front. Come on. There you go, Mr. Spencer.
Well, we're not doing the...
You have gender... Yeah. Yeah. Don't confuse genders. Gotcha. Yep. All right, dads, stay praying. Raise your hand up. Father in heaven, we just want to come before you this very day. We just want to say thank you. Thank you for dads. Thank you for those that have gathered here in this place today. They could have many excuses to not be here. They chose, as a dad, to lead their family. They chose, as a dad, to lead and light the way. I pray your special blessing upon them. Father, and in this place, I pray that your spirit fall afresh. We might see things anew, feel things anew. For Father, some of us certainly look a little bit different with a big red nose. And Father, you love us. You accept us and you care for us. May you guide us, Father, as we guide and lead others. A special blessing upon this special day. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen. God bless you, fathers, dads. You may sit down. Wendy's going to read us a scripture. And do I actually sound different with that on? Yeah. I do sound different. I was like listening to myself. I said, that sounds weird.
That was not a good Jimmy Durante? Yeah.
Well, if God is the ultimate father, right? He's the greatest father. He's the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the Father of all, and we're made in the image of God, then I think all the dads out there should have a nose, right? So I think it should become part of our thing, because we have a lot of people in our church that it's all about the kingdom of God today, right? We spread the word, and we all become children of God. So I think all of our men in our church should have a big round of applause, even the ones that didn't get a nose today, because they share the word of God and are faithful. Mark 4, 26 through 34. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seeds on the ground, night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, and then the full kernel is in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable should we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on the earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all the garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, just like a dad, he would explain everything.
Jesus talking in parables. It's kind of like that saying, like, he's talking in circles. Or like he's talking in mystery. And for some, probably exactly right. He was talking in mystery. Jesus spoke in such a way as to conceal truth. Interesting. Jesus conceals truth? God has hidden things? Mysteries? The deep things of God? Hidden for generations until truth revealed. And then Jesus is the truth revealed, and he conceals. He conceals the truth. He conceals the truth from his enemies. Conceals truth from those that were blinded, from those that could not hear. Conceals truth from those without the eyes to see. They have eyes, but they cannot see. He's not talking in circles. It's more, he's not really even, he's revealing mysteries. He's talking in code. It's like he's talking in code, a language that the enemy cannot understand, and that those that are with him need to decode. My wife often talks to me in code. And I have to be wise enough to decipher exactly what does she mean. Like, she'll ask me, are you hungry? She's not really asking me if I'm hungry, is she? She's saying, she's hungry. Or in our house, it's more like, are you hungry yet? When are you going to start cooking? Jesus spoke in parables to fulfill scripture, to fulfill prophecy. Some would have known what he was doing, others would not have known. Many would gather up and get it, and others would not. This comes out of Psalm 78. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors even have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and his wonders and the things that he has done. So the next generation will know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds and would keep his commands. They would not be like our ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. But I will open my mouth with a parable and I will utter hidden things, things from old. Why did Jesus speak in parables? To fulfill prophecy, to fulfill scripture. He would speak in parables to uncover followers, to uncover secret followers like Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea. They would get it. They would understand why he was doing what he was doing. Others would just not get it at all. Do you get it? Do you get it? Jesus spoke in parables to fulfill prophecy in scripture. Some get it, some don't. They just think it's another narrative and another story. Jesus spoke in parables to encourage deeper thinking from his disciples and from his followers. Any followers of Christ in here? Pretty much kind of know, like, pretty much everybody kind of. So I can kind of say, yeah, yeah. There are many that are ever seeing but never perceiving. There are many that are ever hearing, but they never understand. Jesus talking to you in a way, are you ready? We talked about this in Sunday school, that only the Holy Spirit can reveal the truth. That if you have the Holy Spirit, you get it. If you don't, you don't. The depths of its meaning. And he has a personal message for you. He will speak to you in a way that the Holy Spirit within you gets and understands so that you might be transformed. He knows your walk. He knows the direction you're going. He knows how to lead you, guide you, and inspire you. And how annoying for some people, for Jesus would say these things and speak in public only in parables. Perhaps for days and days, weeks even. Can you imagine? Have you ever imagined Jesus like that? Good morning, Jesus. How's it going? How you doing today? A farmer went out to sow a seed. Cool, man. How you feeling today, Jesus? You doing all right? A man had a fig tree and garden. Okay. Things going good. The kingdom of God is like, what? How annoying. Parable after parable after parable. The sheep and the goats and the bags of gold and the 10 virgins and the lost sheep and the lost coin and the prodigal son and the yeast and the pearl and the good Samaritan and the rich fool and the great feast and the shrewd manager and the unforgiving servant and on and on and on he would go. That's a lot of parables. That's a lot of talking in code. That's a lot of uncovering. A lot of who's not with him, who does not have the Holy Spirit, who's not a follower, who's not gravitating towards him and getting it. You follow me only because of what I can do for you and the food that's in your belly. Parables usually are not to be complicated. They're pretty simplistic in their form. Everybody then and pretty much now would understand what he's talking about. A farmer sows some seeds. We kind of get it. And if you're complicating parables, you've missed the simplest of meanings. This one's referring to, it's not complicated, the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like a growing seed. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. And the imagery is kind of, when I picture wheat, I picture fields of wheat. But if I was to picture a mustard plant or an herb, I picture a garden. So the imagery is a little bit different. And the one of the growing wheat is only found in Mark. And parables are only found in the Synoptic Gospels. Only found in the Synoptic Gospels. And the one of the growing seed is only found in Mark. What are the Synoptic Gospels? Well, that's where you'd find the parables, Pastor. Very good. I know this, whether a wheat seed or a mustard seed, one thing is for sure, it's a seed. And the kingdom of God is like a seed. There's your first one. It starts small. Starts small. Anybody have a garden? Some people got gardens. Some people don't have gardens. Some people don't want gardens. People think they should have gardens, but they can't grow gardens. Starts small. Peppers, cucumbers, tomatoes, right? I learned a few things about my dad. Or I should say I learned a few things from my dad concerning gardening, particularly, you know. I've learned a lot of things from my dad and about my dad that I shouldn't do. But I also learned a lot of things from my dad that I should do. Now, again, one of those things is like gardening. One thing I know, and I get the privilege of talking about my dad a little bit today on Father's Day. That's pretty awesome. One thing I do remember is that there was planning involved. He planned ahead, way ahead, in preparation for the seed. I know the kingdom of God is like a seed, but there's planning ahead. And I know that the kingdom of God has a plan. You believe that? God has a plan. So long before, you know, springtime ever arose, long before the weather was nice outside, there was composting. You know what composting is, right? Right? And so we would have a compost pile, and I would have to turn the compost pile, where there'd be eggshells and banana peels and breadcrumbs and grass clippings and leaves and anything that would decay, right, and rot over the winter time in preparation for the springtime. There was all this composting that was going on. He would collect seeds, and my father would set up an incubator. You know what an incubator is? An incubator is you set up a nice little environment for the seed to grow in, right? Long before it ever went outside into the rough weather and before, he had an incubator, and he built his own little incubator with a nice little light, and he had those little seed trays with little seeds, and you plant all the little seeds, and he'd stick them in the incubator, and then he'd make me go down and look every once in a while. Anything coming up yet? Anything coming up yet? Temperature right? How's it going in there? We would watch, and we would wait. The kingdom of God is like a seed. Before it ever hit the outside garden, there was a plan, already planning, planted. Before it ever hit the rough terrain, but ever got exposed to all the elements into the world. I know this about a seed, too, that it's mysterious. It's mysterious. Is a seed alive or dead? Maybe dormant. Maybe dormant. I know it contains life. I can even shake it in the packet. Is it dead or alive? Maybe a good word is it has potential. Like you, the dead or alive. It has potential. Rudolph knows. Curse or a blessing? See, I couldn't look at it and tell whether it was going to be good or bad. Couldn't see whether it had life. I couldn't smell it and look at it, taste it, look at it. I couldn't do any of that. God sees things in the seed that we do not. There's your next one. God sees things in the seed that we cannot. The dormant seed, like your spiritual life, God can see things in your life that others cannot. And there's only one way to prove that the seed is alive. Dead and buried. There's only one way to prove the seed is alive. To be able to get it to its full potential, you have to put it in the ground. You have to put it to the test. You have to plant it, scatter it, outside even, in the weather, in the elements, in the roughest of terrains. There's only one way to tell that if the word of God is within you, put it to the test. Expose it to the elements. Speak the language of the Holy Spirit. Do you get it? Then what? Put the seed in the ground and you watch and you wait. You watch and you wait. The kingdom of God involves, I hate to say it, waiting. The kingdom of God involves waiting. If the kingdom of God is like a seed that's growing, if the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, small but it's going to grow, it involves waiting. It involves waiting and watching, and it involves patience. I don't like that. Exactly what am I going to be looking for within the kingdom of God while I'm patiently waiting for them to emerge to their potential? Exactly what am I looking for? Emerge already. Grow already. Germinate already. Flower, sprout, do something. My dad did not have me run back down into the basement where the incubator was every other hour digging out to see if the seed was doing anything. Watch and wait. Watch and wait. Watch and wait and see what God's going to do. This is faith. Have faith. Have faith. Have faith. Have faith in the kingdom of God that is like a seed. There's some things I've learned about myself in gardening. I have patience for some things, but not for others. I don't have a green thumb, I know that for sure. That I know this, for every tool that I might need in the garden, it's at the back of the shed, behind the Christmas boxes, and over the generator. The kingdom of God's a mystery to the unknown, and it requires patience to be revealed. God can see things in the seed that I cannot. God can see things in the seed that you cannot. And can I trust enough that though it seems like it's buried beneath, that it even seems like maybe it's in the dark, that the kingdom of God will still work? See, the kingdom of God grows steadily. There's your next one. It will grow steadily. It will grow steadily. A seed does nothing while it sits on the shelf. A seed does nothing while it sits in the packet. And if the word of God is a seed, did you plant any today? Did you plant any this week? Did you sow? Did you get in God's word? Did you pray? A seed will not grow stuck in the packet. It's beautiful to look at a Bible, but it's not going to do anything stuck on the shelf. The seed or the word of God needs to be nourished and cared for. A seed will not grow because you have a biology degree. A seed will not grow because you watched a YouTube video. The seed will not grow because you know what an incubator is. The seed grows steadily when planted, when nurtured. The kingdom of God starts small, but it expands steadily. The growth of a seed is powerful. Have you ever seen Weeds growing out of the cement? A tree growing on a rock? Plants that come out between the pavers? How do you stop that growth? It will grow. The kingdom of God will grow. And it grows oftentimes in the harshest of conditions, in the most challenging of soils, in the worst of elements. Tree roots turn up under pavements. They turn up pavements. They work their ways into septic tanks. Anybody? Crawl up plumbing lines. They destroy foundations and homes. Watch, just like the word of God. Planted in the heart of a man, even in the most wretched of soils. It will grow and it will take root. And it'll destroy the weak foundations of evil and darkness. David even writes, where do I go? Where can I hide from your spirit, O Lord? Even if I go and run into the darkness will be like light to you. Can you have faith and trust that the kingdom of God has sowed a seed into you? It's growing. Patient. God's word can take root in the heart, toughest of places, just like it took root in you. I was hard and I was callous, but the Lord had a plan. The Lord maintained a remnant within me, and he was patient with me. It was a long time before that seed began to grow out of that rocky soil. Anybody feeling me? The kingdom of God requires patience. God showed me patience. How about you? Can you take what God has given you and give it away? The kingdom of God keeps on keeping on. Keeps on keeping on. The good news of Christ is being scattered and planted all around the world. So I wanted you to become aware of a little bit of something, so I kind of go off script here a little bit, but I'm going to offer this to you as a perspective. And I want you to pay attention, if you can, to how you view things, how you think about things. Think about what you think about, how you view things. A kingdom perspective. I'm trying to give you a kingdom perspective. And let me start right here. Are there more Christians in America today than there were in 1950? Well, if you listen to the media, no way. There's no possible way. But yes, there's more Christians in America today than there were 73 years ago. Now listen, not as a percentage of population. Understand? 1950, 90% of the 150 million people that lived here we're Christians. You go 73 years later, 2023, and you go, well, only 70% of the 320 million people that live here are Christians. There's more Christians now than there were back then, but not as a percentage of population. You with me? So were there more Christians back then than there are now? Depends on what you want, a perspective you want to look at. All depends on what the media wants to share with you and what thing you listen to, right? Now watch. Get outside of America. Can you? Can you even shatter some of your own USA, American mentality, Western Hemisphere, definitions of what success is, what church looks like, what church is supposed to be, and break some of those barriers, start thinking about the kingdom of God and not the United States of America's definition of what the kingdom of God is? We can be tempted to see the global church exhibiting the same patterns as the American church, and it doesn't. Because the body of Christ is not American. Are you with me? Yeah. Status of global Christianity, 2022 study. Listen, there are fewer atheists in the world today than in 1970. I would have never believed that. There are fewer atheists today around the world than there were 50 years ago. I would have thought it would have went the other way, but not true. Not only is religion growing, Christianity specifically is growing. 2.6 billion people call themselves Christians today. The places where Christianity is growing the fastest? Africa and Asia. Africa and Asia. Now see, I want you, if you can follow me on this, all right? Follow me on this perspective. In 1900, 123 years ago, twice as many Christians lived in Europe than in all the world combined. Twice as many Christians lived in Europe than in all the rest of the world combined in 1900. More than Africa, more than Asia, more than anywhere in Europe. Today, more live in Africa than in any other continent. See, Christianity has spread out of the soaked European continent and spread. The kingdom of God is like a seed. It will grow. It will expand. Christianity continues to sprout up and spread out. Watch one more. One more little statistic, if you can grab your mind around it. Not really. I like numbers, but I'm not a really good statistic person. Christianity will become less concentrated or less dense. What does that mean? In 1900, again, back 123, 95% of all Christians lived in a Christian country, like Europe or America. Is that a Christian nation? We were founded on Christian values. And so Europe and America, 95% of all the Christians, that's where you would have found them. By 2022, half of the Christians live in a non-majority country, meaning non-majority Christian nation. You understand what that means? Half of the people that claim to know Jesus will not live in a Christian-based nation. Half. That's 120 years ago. 95% of all Christians lived in a Christian community. Fast forward 120 some odd years later, spread out. Spread out. What does that mean? God have a plan, or are we doing it wrong? God is into missions. Spread out! And that translates into this, that more non-Christians will know a Christian. That means we won't all be huddled together in one place. We'll be scattered around. And that the people that you speak to about the kingdom of God won't know what you're talking about. Just the way God wants to use you. Just the way God desires to spread the word of God. I don't know why he chose you. I don't know why he's looking at you and what fills you with the Holy Spirit of God, reveals this magnificent mystery to you, this wonderful knowledge that he's imparted upon you, this great discernment that you have about spiritual realms and everlasting life. Why did he impart that upon you? Why does he want to give that to you and then say to you, go tell others about this. How wonderful it is for you. What? That's his mode of operation. That's what God desires to do. That's amazing to me. There's a reason sometimes that no one around you is a Christian. Yes, because you are. You're the big beacon, red-nosed Christian in the midst of the darkness. We are to be the light into the darkness. We are to grow and go in some places. And oftentimes the toughest places on the planet. And sometimes the toughest places on the planet is your family. Can you be the light to your family? I don't have to go to the other side of the world to encounter a bunch of non-Christians around me. I just got to go to a family reunion, go to Thanksgiving dinner. Am I right? Then what's God doing in you and with you and through you? And why did he give you this great revelation? So that you're patient. Wow. And you get this revelation oftentimes, this awareness you get, they don't get it. What does that say about you? Last year, 90 million Bibles were printed. They do that every year. Printing millions and millions of Bibles. It just continues to grow and continues to expand. It's the world's bestseller. They take it off the bestsellers list because otherwise there'd be no other bestseller. It would always be the bestseller. Give out a Bible. You want to be the big, bright, shiny nose at family reunion sometime? Hey, before we scoff down the turkey, do you mind if I give thanks? Not what are you thankful for, and what are you thankful for, and what are you thankful for? I'm thankful to my God. Can I give a praise on that today? Did I ruffle somebody's turkey feathers around the table? Well, that's okay. With power and the might of a seed, even the smallest of seeds, like the mustard seed, it will break through hard ground, adventures into places that seem unlikely for germination, but it will grow and it will keep on growing. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful of your perspectives. Be about the kingdom of God. Don't be about a denomination. Be about the kingdom of God. Don't be about America's way of doing things. Be about the kingdom of God. In order to continue to grow, like we should, we need to be very specific in how we feed ourselves. What are you feeding your soul? What are you feeding your mind? Nutrient-rich scriptures and encouragement and hope from the Word of God? Stories of grace and hope and compassion. If you don't know any, call me. I got some of my own. Fill your mouth full of prayer and hope and encouragement. The word of God does not return void. And the seed has been planted within you. And then here's what happens. Oh my gosh, here's what happens. It produces a crop. That's your next one. It produces a crop. For the wheat, the sower takes a sickle to it. For the mustard seed, birds take refuge in it. What kind of crop are you producing? Depends on what kind of seed you sow in. You will reap what you sow. You will reap what you sow. You will reap what you sow. We know that. We hear it. It's biblical. And then we plant a bunch of garbage in our own minds, in our own hearts. And we listen to all the influences of the world. And we take all these opinions. What's God's opinion? What's the kingdom of God have to say concerning my hope and concerning my future? What has God sown into your life? The word of God brings victory. The word of God brings a harvest of souls. God's got a plan and he's working it out. God's got a plan for you and he's working it out. The word of God brings power and opportunity. The word of God brings salvation and it brings rest for your weary souls. The word of God brings reassurance and protection. We have to embed the word of God into our own lives, and we have to plant the seed into our own hearts, into our own thoughts, and into our own souls. You do not know what the word of God can do in your life until you plant it firmly into the soil of your heart. Yes. Amen. It's the only way. Yes. It's the only way, and at times it's going to seem like it's dark. And it's buried. And it's not germinating. And it's not doing anything. But will you have the faith in God? You keep nurturing the seed. You ever heard the garbage? We all know there's garbage in, garbage out. Right? How about God in, God out? God in, God out. I need to do nothing more than have a small conversation with you and learn how you speak about others to know what kind of garbage is going in your head. Garbage in, garbage out. All I need to do is spend an afternoon with you and see how embittered and enraged and angry and I can just, this guy watches way too much Fox News. This guy watches way too much CNN. Or me, this guy watches way too much golf. What are you producing? What crops are being planted and growing and harvesting around your household? What's your fruit? You don't plant a wheat seed and expect a watermelon. Right? Too many people are planting lemons when they want an apple. It's not happening. They plant fear and they expect peace. They scatter gossip, but they want harmony. They sow anger and they expect serenity in their household. Way too many people are not happy with the crops that they've been producing. What are you planting? What kind of seed are you scattering around? You keep planting what you're planting, you're going to keep harvesting what you're harvesting. You don't like what you're harvesting? Plant something else. You will grow according to the seeds that you plant. The soil that you are is unique. There's going to be no other plant like you. You realize that? God has seen to it. The uniqueness of who you are. Right down to your fingerprints and your DNA. The very blood of life determines the uniqueness of who you are. God saw to that. That's amazing. It's not just, oh, that person's human. No, that person, Bev Jacobs, we know exactly who that person is. It's not like, oh, they're a human being. No, we know exactly. That's Billy Leach. We know exactly who that person is. God knows exactly who you are and what you need. He has seen to it that the uniqueness of who you are is the uniqueness of who you are amongst 8 billion people. 2.6 billion that would call themselves Christians, you're still unique in who you are. The gifts that you have, Jeff's got some gifts. Saw him today, right? There's some talent. Playing a guitar, banging on the drum, preaching the word of God. Man, the guy got some talent. The uniqueness of your personality. Did you ever catch some people will laugh at my joke and some people just go, The uniqueness of humor in people's lives, what people find funny and what people don't. There's a uniqueness to you. They're wrong. No, they're not wrong. Just different. Just different. And the talents that you possess, bloom fully into who you are. Bloom fully into that mustard seed, fully into the wheat field. Grow fully into the preacher you're supposed to be, the teacher you're supposed to be, the dad you're supposed to be, the mom you're supposed to be, the singer you're supposed to be. The evangelist, the missionary, that's where the fruit is in your life. God has created you that you would blossom. The crop, the abundance, the blessings. I know this about a seed. Here's your next slide. A seed will produce more seeds only when it's mature. Then you take a sickle to it and harvest it. Allow others to rest in the branches of your maturity, even if they're unbelievers. Because you're kind, and you're good, and you're generous, and you're loving. It doesn't matter what the circumstance is. I'm kind, I'm patient, I'm generous, I'm loving. It doesn't matter what the elements are around me. I'm a seed of God planted right here, and I'm going to bloom. Small and steady, growing and meant to produce a crop. You are the kingdom of God. And it's not somewhere out there. The kingdom of God dwells within you. God has filled you with himself. Not a facsimile thereof. Not a copy of. He's filled you with himself. Okay, what do you lack? Are you ready? Here's your last point, and perhaps the most important one. Get alone with Jesus. In many similar parables, there's Jesus talking in those parables again, spoke the word to them as much as they could understand or as much as they could take, right? He did not say anything to them without speaking in a parable. But when he got alone with his disciples, anybody want to be a disciple? Anybody want to get alone with Jesus?
Yes.
Come on, talk to me now.
Yes.
Right? Jesus, tell me, what is it that you're talking about? But when he got alone with his disciples, he explained everything. You know, I think maybe some of the problems that many people encounter in their own lives is they never get alone with Jesus. They just start logically thinking in their Western Hemisphere mindset about what God's trying to say to them concerning, and they think way too much. Stop thinking, shut your mouth, and sit and ask the Lord, show me, Lord, and shut up. Show me, Lord, what you got for me. When he got alone with those disciples, he explained things. He educated them. He taught them. The word of God is like a seed. The kingdom of God is like a seed. The words of this pastor will fall on many ears, even here today, and those watching at home. And oftentimes those words will provoke people. Oftentimes they will conceal the truth. They don't get it. They're in code that only the Holy Spirit can understand and reveal. Many will be confirmed and confirmational set in, and they'll say, oh, that's what I needed to hear today, Pastor. I'm going home. I'm going to spend the next 90 minutes with Jesus, turning off the TV, turning off the cell phone. I'm just going to sit and listen for God. Instead of talking to him, I'm going to listen to get something from him. Get alone with Jesus, will you? Please get alone with Jesus. Seek him with all your heart. Keep seeking him. Get alone with him. People, I can tell quickly if people have been neglecting him. Pretty quickly that people are not walking with him. And many times it's nothing more than an attitude. People have bad attitudes. And they jump on the latest bandwagon. Everything's negative. Everything's dark. Everything's going to hell. A whole country, a whole world. We're going to be at war. And then I'm like, well, where's the hope of God? Is that anywhere in your life? Or is this all you're seeing? Is this all you're responding to? Is this all you feel? Oh, God's got so much more. He's got so much more. If you take anything away from being here today, it's this. Jesus wants some alone time with you. He wants to be with you. You alone. The desire of God, Jesus' desire, to be with his disciples. Get alone with his disciples. This is Jesus' desire. Are you going to deny the desire of Jesus? Get alone with God. It's an important part. Listen, just listen. He'll tell you as much as you can understand. As much as you can gravitate. He wants to share ideas with you. He wants to share stories with you. And he still speaks in parables. He still speaks in code. Isn't that amazing? He'll share something with you. And you'll go, what? Does that even, Lord? I think that's from you, but I don't. You know, like, Pastor, you're very idealistic. But you're not realistic. I'm going to wrestle with that one for a while. Lord, what is it there? What is it that you say to me? What does this mean? How do I apply this to my life? God has some words for you. He will speak to you. God bless you. Let me say a prayer for you. Father in heaven, again, we'll just come before you. Thanksgiving, praise, and gratitude. So thankful for the way in which you continue to minister into each and every one of our lives. We pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to reveal things to us, Father. And we pray that as we would take some time to just be alone with you, that you would speak in such a way as that we would discern that it's a Word of God. We would dive deep and seek and do that which you desire for us to do. For your honor, for your glory, that we might advance your kingdom even into the most darkest of places. We come before you in the name of your Son. Amen.